All right, Matthew chapter 13, and in your pew Bible, it's page 714. 714 in your pew Bible this morning. And we're still in Matthew chapter 13. We were in Matthew chapter 13 last week as our young people head out there. And it's exciting to see young people wanting to come to church and wanting to learn this morning. And also a lot of you in here this morning, you're wanting to learn and excited about it. And we're going to be looking again at another parable that Jesus taught to the disciples. Now, last week we looked at the different types of hearts and the different types of people, the four different types of people that when they are presented with the gospel of Jesus Christ, salvation through Jesus alone, the forgiveness of sin and eternal life in heaven and freedom from judgment for their sin, and the four responses of them, that there are those that has the devil comes by and steals away the gospel out of their heart. Then there are others that they have a hard heart. Maybe they have, they're excited about, they make a profession, but their heart is still hard and they're not really saved. And when things happen, they just throw off and they discard God, discard the Bible and just throw it away. Then there is another that they get saved or they make a profession and they pray, and but then the cares of this life and of riches or the peer pressure, whatever it is, that they decide, well, that's more important to them. Their sin is more important than salvation. They just cast it off. And each of those three, those people didn't get saved. But the last one, the fruitful field, they brought forth fruit. And that leads into the parable. There was another parable after Jesus explained to the disciples what the parable we looked at last week, the parable of the sower and the seed, that in the fields there, that he explained to them what that all meant. And then he gave them another parable, which we're going to look at in verses 24 through 30 this morning, another parable. Now, this is a very similar parable. It has to do with a sower of seed. But also we're going to look at another sower, that is the devil, the sower of the tares, and what that means to us today as a Christian, and what it means to this church, and what are we to do about it? If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, we're going to begin in verse number 24 and read down through verse number 30 this morning. And God's Word says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing this morning. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I pray that you have blessed this message, that, Lord, you give me the words to say, and, Lord, that you give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. And, Lord, this is your message, not mine. This is your truth and not mine. But, Lord, I pray that you'd use me as an instrument this morning. I pray that you would help the hearts of those listening today. Lord, I pray if any here today that they're not saved, they have never trusted in you for salvation, for forgiveness of sin. Dear Lord, I pray that they would be saved today. And Lord, dear Lord, we pray also for the Christian who is here today. And, Lord, they're trying to bring forth fruit. They're trying to do that which is right. But, Lord, tares many times discourage and maybe dishearten. I pray, dear Lord, that you would bless and help and that you would encourage us today and give us thy hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In a message entitled, You Never Know. You Never Know. There are things in life that we're never going to really know. All of us in here, most of us, I think, have hair. At least I hope so. I'm losing mine, but I think all of us, we have hair on our heads. You know, there's something that we're never going to know unless we really, really want to. But most of us are never going to know how many hairs were ever on your head from the day that you were born. You know, because we lose hair and we grow new ones. We're never going to know how many until we can ask the Lord when we get to heaven, how many hairs did I have? But I think there's more important questions to ask. Now, I just wanted to warn everyone this morning. Now, we have a new baby in the house. and the sleep has been decent, but if I just stop for a moment and stare up into space, it's okay. My brain's resetting, okay? If that happens there, it's okay to have a polite chuckle there. It's okay. I'm just warning you there. If I just stare up into space and lose my place, that's why. So I'll just blame it on your children. That's what you do. Whenever things happen, just blame it on your kids, right? Amen? Just do that. But imagine, child, you never know. Now, Jesus is trying to teach a different lesson in this parable than what we were learning last week. And here's the lesson that we're going to learn from him. There's some very important lessons and three truths that we're going to gather from this parable. If you're taking notes this morning, three truths. Number one is this: grow where you're planted. Now, there were two crops planted here. There was that of the wheat, and then the evil one came, which is represents the devil, came and sowed tares. And number one is grow where you're planted. Now, we're going to look over really quickly at verses 37 through 43. And this is the explanation that Jesus gave of these parables. You know, sometimes people say, you know, they read a parable and they say, well, we just don't understand what this parable means. I've heard people say, well, I don't understand what this parable of the wheat and the tares means. Hold on for a second. Jesus explains what it means. Amen. Isn't that great that when Jesus himself explains, we don't say, well, what does this really mean? Jesus tells us what it means. Look at verse number 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Jesus. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. So those are Christians. Okay, that's the good seed. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. So those that are not saved and servants of the devil. By the way, if you're not saved, you're a servant of the devil, whether you realize it or not. Your father, and that's what Jesus said, that your father the devil. So if we have lyings and sin, don't be surprised, because you're of your father the devil, and he's the father of lies. And we see that the enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. You know, there's going to be an end to this world. Amen. There's an end to our life, but there's going to be an end of all things. Read the book of Revelation, we see that. There's going to be an end of all things. The world is not just going to go on forever and ever until the sun burns out. There's going to be an end, and it's not going to be millions of years from now. It is going to be when God says. Do we know when it is? No, we don't. But it's not going to be millions of years from now. Maybe hundreds, maybe a thousand. We don't know, but we do know that the day is approaching. Every single day that goes by, it's closer to the end of the world. And we see here that the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And we see that, and we're going to look at that in Revelation here in a little bit. Verse number 40, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus said, whoever hath ears to hear, let him hear, that means listen up. Meaning, if you really want to understand what I'm saying, you'll understand. If you have a heart that wants to know God and wants to know Jesus Christ, then you're going to understand. You're going to listen to the message this morning. And I can say that to you this morning. Jesus said it to you, and I'm saying it to you too. If you're listening this morning, if your heart is open, listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. So we see the first point we're looking at is grow where you're planted. And Jesus is the one who plants the good seed. We see that Jesus is the Son of Man, has another name for him, in that he is given and he has shed his blood. And this represents born again Christians. Those people who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. There has been a time and a place in their life, not that they've been baptized, not that they've been done good works or been to church or that they were born into a Christian family. But people that have realized their sinful condition, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They have realized their sinful condition and realized the penalty for sin. For the wages of sin is death. And that death is the furnace referred to here, the lake of fire. Death in hell for all of eternity. And the end of the world, the separation of the wheat and the tares, we're going to get to in a minute, that's the great judgment of God, where we all will stand before God and be judged for the things that we have done in this life. But we see here that that good seed are Christians that have come to a place realizing their sin, realizing the penalty for sin, and realizing that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and lived on this earth and shed his blood on the cross, just like this one. and paid for our sin, because we couldn't pay for our sin. Sin had a wage, sin had a penalty, but Jesus paid it. Jesus died in our place, died as a substitute for us so that we did not have to die. And when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, ask Him to forgive us our sin. And as Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those are the ones that are the good seed, not those that are trying to live a good life. Not those that are following the Ten Commandments. Not those, I remember when Grandma used to tell me Bible stories and I used to go to church with her. Therefore, I'm a Christian. I'm sorry, that doesn't make you a Christian. Only thing that makes you a Christian is trusting Jesus Christ to save you from your sin. One time for all. Amen. That's what saves you. And having faith and trust in that. Not in your baptism. Not in anything else. Not in being good. And we don't have to pray every single day to get saved. Aren't you glad of that? Because what happens if you sinned and you didn't have time to pray before you died? What's going to happen to you? A lot of people believe you go to hell. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we're secure. When we get saved, we're placed in the Father's hand. And no man can take us out of the Father's hand. Nobody can take us away from God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Isn't that exciting, young people, that when you're saved, you're always saved. You're never going anywhere. Jesus has you. God has you for all of eternity. And that's the good seed. Now, there's some truths that we see here. They're part of the church, and they're serving the Lord, and they're to grow up. When you get saved, you get planted. And God plants you somewhere, and God wants to plant you in a church somewhere, the right kind of church. Amen? And I'm glad a lot of you are here today, because God's planted you here. And what interesting thing that we see is that Jesus chose where to plant the seed. He's the farmer. He decided where to put that seed. Look at John 16 and verse number 30. John 16, verse number 30, just a couple of books over from where we are right now in Matthew. But John 16, 30. You know, whatever God has called you to do in the church, in your vocation, whatever it is, you should be bringing forth fruit. John chapter 16 and verse number 30. John 16, verse number 30. Now, are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee, but this we believe, that thou camest forth from God. Now, this is the answer the disciples gave to Jesus Christ, and that He knows all things. And you know, many times is that when we get to a place in life and we're planted in a particular spot, we find ourselves in a hard situation, or we find ourselves in a situation we would not choose, we begin to complain. It's like, well, I think things would be better somewhere else. I think things would be better. The grass is greener over there. Guess what? There's something that the devil loves to do to people, in that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. You know what he loves to do? He goes over there and he puts a little spray painted green on that grass. It's really brown, but he just spray paints that grass green. And you know, it looks better over there. But guess what? When you get over there, you realize that it's the same grass and usually not as good a grass as where you were at. And what we need to do as Christians is we need to be fruitful where we are at. You know what? Central Texas is a wonderful place, but it's not as wonderful for some people, okay? You know, especially if you come from a place that's green. Now, I love this time of year. It's green here right now. It will not be green in August, okay? But, you know, some people, like, and they come to Fort Hood, they're a soldier here, and they just came from Hawaii. You know what? Those are the ones you're complaining the most. Like, I hate it here. It's terrible. Why did God send me here? Guess what? God knew where to put the seed. God knew where to put the seed. You know what we're to do? We're to bloom and to be fruitful where He's planted us. And so, well, I hate my job. I hate what I'm doing. Guess what? Did God put you there? Oh, well, yes. Then just be fruitful and bloom where you're planted. Be useful where you are. Be useful in the ministry God has for you. Be useful in the job that God has given you to do. Be fruitful and bloom where you're planted. Because guess what? Each one of these seeds that the Lord planted, they came up. God chose where to plant the seed, and your responsibility is to grow where you're planted. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 5. There are things that we cannot change in this life. There are circumstances of our life that we cannot change. We cannot change how tall we are. How many of you, just by your sheer willpower, can change how tall you are? No? And you know what Jesus also said? How many, by sheer willpower, can grow hair on your head? If you know how to do it, let me know. I'd like to talk to you. Amen? Because we can't do that. How many of you can change your hair color on command? You can just think, I want my hair to be red this week, and it grows out red hair. If you could do that, guess what? I want to talk to you too. You know, 'cause I'm starting to get gray hair back here, my wife tells me, back over here, the plight of being a pastor in the ministry, you know. I was looking at a picture, you know, and when my wife and I got married, we married 8 years this year, and just thankful for that. I think it's 8 years. I'm sorry, it's 9 years. Sorry, 9 years this year. See, I'm already losing track of time. All right, hopefully she wasn't listening to that. But anyway, 9 years this year. And, you know, looking at when we were first in college and we were courting, you know, we were 23 or 22 years old. And, you know, I just look at what I am now. I said, man, there's a big gap between 22 and 31. A lot happens in there. Mostly getting fat is what happens. But anyway, I'm speaking for myself. I'm not speaking for my wife, looks as beautiful as ever. But I'm just talking for myself. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. You notice I had to put that last part in, because all of you were thinking, oh, he's saying that. I had to put that in there. I'm saying that about myself. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, some people say, well, you know what, I don't like where I'm at because God is not here with me. God has forsaken me in this place. Not true. Can't happen because you have the Holy Spirit of God in your heart. Your responsibility and to make the best of the situation. You know, we don't like to hear that. You know what, in college there were times that I was just like, I don't like this situation, and I don't like what's going on, I have the pressure of classes and all these other things, and I call up, you know who you call up, I call up and complain to my mom, and then I would be complaining to her, and then she would say this, well, I think you need to talk to your father. You know, I didn't call a talk up to my dad, to talk to my dad. You know why? I knew what he was going to tell me. So I complained to my mom. You know, boys do that. They complain to their mom, and then when they want advice, they go to their dad many times. Or if they, you know, and I didn't want to hear it because I knew what he's going to say. And he said, so what's going on? So I tell him, you know, well, kind of in a lot more shorter version, a little rosier version than I gave my mom. And I said, well, what's going on? He said, well, you know what? It just sounds like to me you need to make the best of the situation. And it sounds like to me that you're making the situation worse on yourself. And you just need to be thankful and content and work and ask the Lord to help you and you'll be just fine. And you know what? He's right. Because God's Word says so. In that we're to be content with such things as we have. Be content with the situation and grow where you're at. You know what? Sometimes we're in a situation that isn't the nicest situation. That isn't the easiest situation. Maybe it's a family situation. Maybe it's a medical or physical situation. We have all of these things that can happen in our life, and we don't like what's going on with our life. But we have to bloom when we're planted. There was a missionary many years ago. Her name was Amy Carmichael. She was a missionary in India. Well, very well known. A lot of us know the story of her life. Amy Carmichael, she was in India, and she would save the children, the orphan children from temple worship, and she would adopt them and to raise them. And actually, she was very instrumental in getting that particular practice abolished in India. This is back in the 1800s. And she was greatly used of God. But a lot of people don't know is that she also was a poet, wrote much poetry, wrote books and books and books. And like, well, how did she have time to write all of that poetry while she's taking care of those orphans? Well, what a lot of people don't know about her is that when they were building a new orphanage building and that they were digging a ditch, and I'm trying to remember exactly how the story went, but it went where she fell into that ditch and broke her back. And she was bedridden. She was about 30 years old. She was bedridden for the rest of her life. She could not walk again. And some people asked her, said, well, how did you were doing so many wonderful things for God. You were up and doing so many wonderful things. Why aren't you mad? Why would God allow this to happen to you? Why would God allow this to happen? And there were times when she would be discouraged, but she realized something. They said that this was God's will for this to happen to me. And she spent the rest of her days, she was bedridden, but she bloomed where she was planted. You know what? She began to write. She wrote songs. She wrote poetry. She wrote books. Many, many books to encourage other people. She bloomed where she was planted. She didn't, you know what? She could have been very easy for her to say, well, I can't serve God anymore. I can't help these orphans anymore. I can't help these people anymore. But she didn't do that. She was bedridden. He said, we can't do anything from a bed. She could pray and she could write. And that's what she did. She lived to 65 years old. She spent 30 years in bed. But she used that time to bloom where she was planted. So don't complain about your situation. It's up to you to make the most of it. Say, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? And bloom where you are planted. Amen. And that's a wonderful lesson that we can learn. And it's very easy to fall into discouragement and say, well, I can't do anything for God. Yes, you can. We're to grow and be fruitful. Now, going back to Matthew 13, we see the good seed, but then we see the tares that are planted. And there are some truths about the enemy who planted his tares. Now, we look back here and looking here, this is the second part of it. Here we see in verse number 25, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And, you know, we look at this story and I don't know if you're like me. You're like, no, wake up, catch him in the act. Catch him while he's sowing those tares. But you know what? There was nothing that they could do. There's nothing they could do about it. And this was done by the enemy. And this is representative of the devil, in that the devil has come into the assembly of God's house and sowed tares among the weeds. Now, some of you might be wondering, what is a tare? A tare is a weed. Now, a very specific kind of weed, which I'm going to get to in just a moment. And I said, well, how did that happen? When did they find this out? Well, let's listen here. Now, let's learn a little bit about these tares. Now, they were more than likely a plant that's called the darnel plant. And the darnel plant is common all over the world. Wherever wheat is found, this plant is found. And there's something very interesting about it. It's also known as false wheat, in that it looks just like wheat when it comes up. It looks just like wheat. It has the same stalks. It has the same leaves. And it looks exactly the same until it comes to the time for that plant to bear fruit and put its seeds out. Only at that time, and we see that in the passage, we're going to look at that in just a moment. Only at that time is it revealed that it's not really wheat. It's a type of grass. It's actually a type of grain. And it looks just like wheat until it bears fruit. We see that right here in Matthew 13. But when the blade was, verse 26, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. That's why I believe it's this particular plant, because it wasn't until the fruit-bearing time came that it came forth that, wait a minute, this is not wheat, it's something else, it's this particular thing. And this particular false wheat, or the darnel plant, it's poisonous to eat. Interesting. Actually, that's a whole sermon right there. But it's poisonous. It's a type of grain, and people that make bread is actually can make, if you eat it, can make you act like you're drunken and nauseate and poison you and eventually kill you if you eat too much of it. And it makes, here are some truths here. Number one, the devil comes when you least expect him to. Comes in the night. Comes as a secret. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Because the devil is always looking to get somebody. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And you know when lions hunt? Lions hunt at night. Do you know that? They rest during the day. Most of the time they hunt in the early morning and in the late evening when it's not so hot. That's when they hunt and that's when they eat. And this is exactly what the devil does. The devil always comes to in a secret place, in a secret way. He comes and he wants to sow his tares unaware. He doesn't want people to catch him in the act. He's a sneaky, you know, we call him the sneaky devil. You know, when we talk about somebody else being sneaky, that's exactly who the devil is. He's sneaky and he's a liar. And he always comes when you least expect him to. He will sneak into your house and sow some tares. And you know what? He's going to sneak into Tabernacle Baptist Church and he's going to plant some tares. He's going to sneak into your workplace and he's going to plant some tares. And at least when you least expect it, you know what? He's going to sneak into your Sunday school class and plant some tares. He's going to sneak into your bus route and plant some tares. He's going to sneak in every place and plant some tares just so you will be discouraged. And that's exactly what happened here. We look back at Matthew chapter number 13. and that it was known, after verse number 27, it was known that the tares were there. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? So what do you mean good seed? Well, there was seed. They say the seeds of this darnel plant are specific. And what they would do is they would sort the seeds. Because it was very common for this plant to spring up. And when they would harvest it, then they would go through seed by seed. And they would sort out this particular seed because it wasn't fruitful. It was a weed. And so this particular seed that was sown was good seed. There was nothing bad in it. Nothing bad. And you know what? That tells us something. That anything that bad that happens, people that bear wicked fruit, it's not God's fault. Amen. Any problems that happen in the church, it's sure not God's fault. Anything that happens in any place, in our workplace, in our home that's bad, hey, it's not God's fault. It's the devil's fault. Because he sowed some tares. The tares are carefully planted by the enemy. And this is what can happen in church. This is actually talking about an assembly of Christians, talking about church, a field. The field is the world and place we live. And Jude chapter 1 and verse number 4. Jude only has one chapter, so you say verse number 4. Jude 1, verse 4. Very small book, but packed full with a lot of truth. Verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to do this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Saying, hey, you're a Christian, so you can do what you want. These are people that have come in and been planted in God's house and been planted in places that say, well, this is not really true. This is the truth. And did you know that this morning, that these two groups of people, they looked like we have the wheat and the tares. They both looked the same until it came to fruit-bearing time. And do you know what we find out? And when it becomes to fruit-bearing time, that means the harvest is not far away. And in this fruit-bearing time, they look the same. Do you know what? These tares, and that's what brings us to point number two. Number two, first, grow where you're planted. Second, your fruit will give you away. Your fruit will give you away. These two plants are almost impossible to distinguish from one another. They occupy the same soil. They receive the same sunshine. They receive the same rain. Yet one is a profitable crop and the other is poisonous. The other one is doing right. The other one is righteous. The other one is not. And that these particular plants, they come to the same church. They sing the same songs. They hear the same preaching. And they grow up, and when it comes to fruit-bearing time, then it's revealed. You don't know what you have until they begin to bear fruit. And Christians are to be fruitful. Tares also will reveal their fruits eventually. And this is what Jesus taught. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, just back a few chapters from where we were at Matthew chapter 7. And that's what Jesus was trying to explain to them in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Wow. It's amazing. And verse number 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And in this house, and in God's house right now, we have a lot of people here today. I'm thankful for that. But you know, if I asked a question right now, and said, how many of you, you're a born-again Christian, you're on your way to heaven, I pray that I think almost all of you would raise your hand and say, absolutely, Pastor, I know that I'm on my way to heaven. And out of everyone that we raise their hand, that they are good seed, they are wheat. That's not what Jesus said. Some of you that would raise your hand, you're a tare. you're not really saved. You say, well, I think I am. I believe my way of salvation. Oh, you're just a tare because the devil came in and planted you as a tare. You think you're saved, but you're really not. And that's what this is talking about. At the end, the harvest comes and the tares, there's nothing profitable about them, so they're burned. But then, the wheat that bore fruit, that wheat that is there will go to heaven. There are times that the tares fruit is not revealed immediately. Eventually, everyone's fruit comes to fruition. The fruit comes. And we see that in John chapter 4 in verses number 35 and 36, when it was talking about Christians and that those that are the good seed, they'll bring forth fruit unto eternal life. John 4 verses 35 and 36, say not ye that there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. So the fruit is what? The fruit is eternal life. The fruit is salvation. Yes, we're to be fruitful in the fruits of the Spirit, but here it's talking about the fruit of salvation. Some unto eternal life, but Galatians chapter 6:8 talks about what is the fruit of the tare going to be. The fruit of the tare is corruption, rottenness. Galatians 6:8 tells us that if we sow to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. Galatians 6:8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You're on one side or the other. And Jesus is saying, yes, they may profess to be mine. They may say all the wonderful things that they're mine, and that they even memorize my scripture. They look right and they do right and they do say all the right things. They go out so winning, but they're a tear. There'll be some people that are sitting in this auditorium that some of you are genuine wheat, but also some of you are tares planted by the devil to hinder God's harvest. You may not know that's why you're here, but that's what the purpose the devil has for you. But you know the wonderful thing about God? There's hope for the tares. Amen? There's hope for them to be saved. There's hope for them. Only through the grace of God in Christ Jesus can he be changed from being a tare to a fruitful wheat. Because once we were all tares, for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. We're all the enemies of God. But Jesus saved us and changed us. We cannot diminish the fact, though, that the devil did it intentionally to try and destroy the crop of God. And you know what's going to happen is that you're going to encounter people that claim to be saved. But after you get to know them for a little while, you find out that they're not really for God at all. They're for themselves. That they seem to be spiritual people. And this is exactly what happens when someone encounters a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness. Because, we're Christians too. We all believe the same thing. Right? How many have ever told you that? If that's happened to you? Oh, we're all Christians. We all believe the same thing. We all believe in the same God. Guess what? They don't. They don't. And you know what? They say, well, we all believe the same thing. We're Christians too. And then, you know what they are? They're not wheat, they're tare. But guess what? The wheat says, let's be friends with this person. Let's listen. Hey, if they're a Christian too, maybe they have a closer walk with God. Maybe I missed something. And they open themselves up. Guess what? That tare is going to destroy the wheat. That's actually what this darnel plant does for some. Not all of them, but what it will do, it will actually uproot. Its root system is so big, it will uproot some of the wheat with it as it grows up. But what was the problem? You know, when tares are found out to be there, and those tares, and you know what? Those servants came to the farmer and said, well, shouldn't we just pull the tares out? Just rip them out. He said, no, don't do that. You know why? If you pull those plants out, they're going to rip the good wheat out too. And that's exactly what they do to this day, is that if you have a field with this particular plant in it, they just let it grow up together. And then at harvest time, it's separated. And you know what? Many times we fear for false teachers and false Christians in the house of God. Guess what? In the end, you'll never know for sure. We won't know. God knows. But you know what? You know what God said here? Don't worry about it. I'm going to sort everything out in the end. Amen? we sit and we worry about it. And we sit and we say, well, is this some person really saved or not? It is in the hands of God. He will know in the end. If someone's being genuine and called upon Jesus Christ out of a genuine heart and a genuine faith, guess what? They're saved. But if they were lying to themselves in their heart, if they were lying and said, well, I didn't do it for that reason, that is between them and God. It's not for us to worry about. Some are tares. And that brings number three. We will know in the end. We should not sit here today and try and figure out, well, who is the wheat and who are the tares? You will not be able to know. Only God knows. Only God knows. Anybody that walks through the doors of this church, like, what? Let's see. Who are they? Are they a wheat? I think they're a tare because I see this and this. They have a couple standards that they don't have right, so they're a tare. Hold on a second. How many of you had to grow in grace? Amen. Amen. We had to. So we should say, well, I don't think they're really saved. Now, if they're saying that their baptism saved them, obviously we know from the Bible that they're not saved, amen, because they're not because they're being dishonest, but because they've been sold a bill of goods and they need to hear the truth so they can get saved, amen. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about people that they claim to be born again Christians, but they're doing it to deceive. They're really not saved in their heart. They're really unregenerate in their heart, and they're doing it for a false purpose to deceive and to destroy. As a pastor, do people really come into churches to do just that? Absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. The devil has people everywhere. Guess what? I lived through it. I lived through it when I was 16 years old. My parents, my family were working in a church, and God was blessing. God was using our family to help do some things and help us to help get the building renovated and the whole church was excited and was building and repairing the buildings that had been broken down, and very much like Nehemiah, getting everything set again. And then a new pastor came in and saw my father as a threat and set in motion people that were close to him that want him to be pastor, set in motion a set of lies against my father that were completely not true, and eventually ran us out of the church. Why? Jealousy. Envy, whatever reason, I don't really know. And guess what? That's very discouraging to someone when that happens, especially at 16 years old. But I learned something from that. And you're like, why did that happen? Why did that happen? Because there are some people that are tares, and they want their own way and not God's way. That happens everywhere. We're all once tares, but Jesus saved us and changed us. But we'll all know in the end. You will not be able to know. Only God knows. You know, there's some other truths. Three very brief truths before we end this morning. That we'll all know when we stand before God. But some truth that we can look at. Look at Revelation 14, verse 15. Revelation 14, 15. The harvest is coming. That's a truth that we know. The harvest is coming. Revelation 14, 15 tells us that. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Just like what we talked about in Matthew 13. That the reapers are the angels and that they reap and that the end of the world has come. Harvest is coming. That's good news for the wheat. That's bad news for the tares. Because the wheat is going to be what? Forever be with the Lord. But the tares will be burnt in everlasting fire for all of eternity. Let me just tell you something. It doesn't pay to be a tare. Amen? It doesn't pay. It doesn't pay to be a servant of the devil. It doesn't pay to love your sin because it's going to come to a bad end. But if your faith and trust is in Jesus Christ and you're born again, then we will be saved unto life eternal. Praise God for that. But also, look at Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 22. Guess what? The time is going to come. Time is marching on. Genesis 8, 22 says this, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. There's always going to be a harvest time. There's going to be a planting time. You know, God is faithful in keeping time. Amen. He is faithful And he knows exactly when that time is going to come. He knows exactly when the harvest time is. We don't know, but he knows when it's coming. He knows when that harvest is coming, and that is something we have to keep in mind. Oh, I've got plenty of time to get saved. I can be saved tomorrow. I could be saved next week. I don't need to make a decision for God right now. I like how I am. I'm not a bad person. Jesus said, we're all sinners, for all have sinned and for all sin comes short of the glory of God. So while I've got till tomorrow, young people, eyes up here. The harvest could be this afternoon. And you're not ready. Adults, harvest could be at 1 o'clock. Or it could be at 12:10. And you're not ready. It's too late when the harvest comes, when the sickle is cast in, and then we're cut off from this life. Guess what? It's too late for the tare to say, wait, I don't want to be a tare anymore. I don't want to be in the pile, go to the furnace. I don't want to do that. Guess what? It's too late for that. It's too late. All these people that say, well, after the rapture, the people on earth, they can get saved. I don't find that in the Bible. I don't find it there. It's done. Opportunity is over. You can't get off the pile that's about to be thrown in and be thrown in the pit of hell and say, wait, I changed my mind. I believe it's real now. It's too late for you. Don't leave this morning and let it be too late. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. As a pastor, it's scary. It is. Hell is a scary thing. The devil wants to make it not scary. Oh, it's a cool place to be. Guess what? He's not planning on going there. He's going to end up there, but he doesn't want to go there. He wants everybody else to. Why? Because he hates God and he hates you. The devil's not your friend. He hates you. He wants to destroy you. People say, well, the devil's my friend. No, he just wants to use you, but he hates you in the end. It won't fail. It's coming. In Revelation 20, verses 12 through 13, we'll all stand before God. Young people, I encourage you to turn or listen very carefully. Revelation 20 and verses number 12 and 13. And I saw the dead small. That's you, young people. And great. It's adults, those that were small in this life, far as money or wealth, also those that are the most powerful. The President of the United States, all of them will stand before God one day. All of the great leaders of all the ages, they'll stand before God one day. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. That's where the Christians' names are written down there. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Every single thing we've done in this life is going to be judged before God. That's a scary thing. Remember, God is powerful and God is holy. So every single one of you young people is going to stand before God one day. That might be 10 years down the road. It might be today. Are you ready to stand before Him? Because guess what? If you're standing with your own goodness and I've been a good person, that's not good enough for God. The only way we can be saved from the torments of hell, from the lake of fire, and we see that in the verse following. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me ask you a question this morning for everyone. Those listening to the streaming this morning. Is your name written in the book of life? Only Jesus can write it there. If you look at Revelation, only Jesus was worthy to open that book. No angel, nobody in heaven or in earth was found. And when John saw this vision, he lamented and he wept and he said, oh, nobody can open the book. I can't know for sure that I'm there. But he said, wait, there is one, the Lamb that was slain. He's worthy to open the book. And he went and he opened it and you know what? I imagine in my mind's eye that John said, look, my name's written there. My Jesus wrote my name there. And he wants to write your name there. That's the only way you'll get into heaven is if your name is there. If it's not there, then you're a tear. And it'll be burned for all of eternity. Well, I've been going to church for years. You can still be a tear. Well, I've been in a Christian family all my life. You can still be a tear. Doesn't matter. Notice the field is the world. It doesn't matter where you've been planted. It's the type of seed that you are in the beginning. This morning, are you wheat or are you a tare? If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're wheat. You've been saved. But those of you who are tares know that you are. Let me ask you something. If you're a tare here this morning, won't you come to God and be saved? You're not saved and you know it. You're living a secret life of wickedness and sin in your heart this morning. But Jesus can save and cleanse you this morning. Because tares are going to be burned in hell for all of eternity. Now, why are tares burned? Think about this for a moment. Say, well, why are the tares burned up? Ask any farmer. The weeds that you find, you don't go bury them. You know why? Because they still blow the seeds around. Why do you burn them? So you destroy the seeds. So they can't be planted again. And you know what? Those that have sinned and are sinful before God are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Why? Because God will not allow the weed of sin, to pollute His heaven and to pollute the new heaven and the new earth. He will not allow that. So they are relegated to the burn pile. Not because, and he said, God doesn't take any pleasure in this, because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I believe this. You can disagree with me if you like. But I believe when He has to relegate those that are not found in His book, the book of life, I don't know if He's going to say, do you remember when you were told how you could be written here? Remember the services you said in your Sunday school class, the tract that you were given, the witness by your family, and you wouldn't? I wanted to write your name there. But you didn't ask me to. And I believe with all my heart that we'll see the judge of all things and the God of all the universe weep when He has to destroy those who were cast into hell. It's not a place He wants you to be. It's a place that we choose to be. You don't have to be burned, but you can be saved this morning once you come to Him. This morning, you can come forward at invitation time and say, I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved from myself. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm a tear. I know that I'm not one of God's, and I want to be His this morning. We'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Young or old, doesn't matter. We'd love to show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. We allow God to do that this morning. Maybe some of you, some of the wheat out there, you're fretting about, well, who's a tear? Who's going to be the genuine? Who's a real Christian? Who isn't? Guess what? You're never going to know, so stop worrying about it. Let God worry about it. Amen? That's what we need. Don't worry about it. Don't be an inspector. And say, well, I don't think. No, God knows. You just don't worry about it. That's what the servants wanted to do. Hey, we got to pluck them out. We got to get them out of here. And you know what God said? Don't do it. Nope. It all happened in the end. You know what? We said, well, we want to have a pure church. We do our best. But you know what? There's going to be people that come into the membership of the church and aren't saved a lick. Guess what? We'll find out in the end. Don't worry about it. Now, should we just let anybody join the church? I didn't say that because there's definitely requirements in the Bible. But if they come in and they're not saved, let's not stress about it. God will take care of it in the end. Just rest in Jesus and pray that if there are any tares, that they get saved. Amen? That's what God, only God can do that. We can't. We can't stress and worry about it. We need to let God be God. Our responsibilities to bear fruit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for this morning.